if you're feeling unloved, and a lot of people are, then this message is for you. You might not like it, but it will explain to you some of the reasons why you feel the way you do. I've entitled my message, Unloved. Or a subtitle would be, well, don't tell me the truth. So take a listen, please. For I'll open my message with John 8:32, a very familiar verse. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give me wisdom today as I bring forth this message. I pray, Lord, that the ears that hear it will be opened, that the hearts will be receptive, Lord, and that the precious souls that know thee not, Lord, will come to a better understanding of who thou art, Lord, and why they may feel unloved at this time in their lives. For thou art love, Lord, but to love someone as you love us, Lord, means that we must walk in the truth of thy word. Help us, O God, to be obedient to thy ways, to understand your ways. For I ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen. I've entitled my message, Unloved, or a subtitle would be, Don't Tell Me the Truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, indeed. John 8:32, the truth shall make you free. Ye shall know the truth because the truth is in the Word of God. It's there. All you have to do is open the book, the King James Bible, 1611, from Genesis right through to Revelation. It's the truth. Now, don't just take my word for it, but examine it for yourselves. But you know, a person said to me once, I've read the Bible through about two dozen times. You know, and I can't make head or tail of it. It doesn't make any sense. It's all fairy tales and this and that. Well, you know, I believe that person. But you know what? You know why that is? Well, first of all, if you want to understand what God is saying to you, then turn your life over to Jesus Christ. Get saved. Become a Christian. I mean a real Christian. Not a cellophane Christian. A real Christian. Then watch the Word of God in this holy book come alive. It'll speak to your heart in ways you never dreamed. You'll understand then what the truth is. You see, if you want to know the truth of God's Word, as I feel led by the Holy Spirit, then you've come to the right place. If you want me to tell you I love you, well, I will tell you the truth of God's Word. I love you. We are commanded to love not only those who are our brothers and sisters in the Lord, but also our enemies. If you went to the doctor and he knew you had a terminal disease, but since he didn't want to hurt your feelings, he told you a lie instead, would you be happy? Of course you would. Why? Because that is what you want to hear. Now, if I told you that you could go to heaven by doing good things for other people and showing everyone how much you love them, would you like to hear that? Of course you would. Why? Because that is what you want to hear. If I told you that you're a lousy, lying sinner headed for hell unless you repented and gave your life to Jesus Christ, would you like to hear that? Of course not. Why? Because that's not what you want to hear. If I told you that you could go to heaven if I paid God a week's salary, or you paid him a week's salary, would you be glad to hear that? Well, of course you would. Why? Because it didn't cost you a penny. And you wouldn't have to repent of your rotten, sin-filled life. Because I paid your way in. Kind of a cheap admission, isn't it? A penny. For something so great. With the exception of example number 3, all the others are lies from the pit of hell. If I told you that the King James Bible that I hold in my hand is the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God, would you believe me? If you did, you would be telling the truth. If you did not, then you'd be calling God a liar. Why? Because the same God that gave you birth, not once, but twice, has promised that His Word should be preserved forever, purified and elevated, even above His own name. What's my whole point? Why do I speak in riddles? Because I promised to tell you the truth. You see, God's Word is truth. How many of you know that every word in the precious book that I hold in my hand, the King James Authorized 1611, was actually authored by God? Now you say, well, God didn't write it. Well, yes, He did. He dictated His Word to the prophets, and they laid pen to the scrolls or the rolls and penned what He said. They didn't say, oh, well, that doesn't sound right. Maybe we should change that, God. Or, I don't know, people are going to like that sentence. They're going to hell. Or, oh, that sounds a bit mushy, all that love and stuff. No, they wrote exactly what God said, verbatim, word for word. Right from in the beginning, all the way through to Amen in Revelation 22. What Moses wrote, God told him to write. What Daniel wrote, what the minor prophets wrote, what the apostles wrote, even the words uttered by Jesus Himself, were authored by Almighty God. And if you have a problem with this, then you are not only calling God a liar, but you're denying your own salvation or any part thereof. Do not, I underline, do not underestimate God. The emphasis these days is on love, and that's good. For we should love. Love, 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 love. Love your brother, love your sister, love your dog. Look in the mirror, love yourself. My friends, without truth, there is no real love. Does that bother you? Good. Then maybe you'll do something about it. Jesus said, and I quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I am the way, the love, and the life. It's the only way we can love God, folks. In truth. In truth. And what is the truth, you ask? Are you ready? Are you ready? Obedience. Obedience. Let it echo through your mind. That's what truth is. Obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This means obey. You see, what you believe must be supported by who you obey. For even the devil believes and trembles. I mean, he believes Jesus went to the cross and died for him. He believes his time is short upon this earth. He believes Christ, Jesus is the Christ. He believes God is God. He believes everything that we believe. But he is the enemy, the arch enemy of everything that is good. But he knows the truth. But he's not going to come knocking on your heart and say, oh, hey, you better believe that Jesus died for you and get saved, boy. Oh, yeah. You better get moving there now. No, he's going to come to you knowing the truth and say, oh, don't listen to that hogwash. That ain't truth. You mean a guy living in a whale for 3 days and three nights? You're not going to believe that, are you? That's the way the devil works. There was a day, you know, way back when this holy book was held in high esteem, revered and lifted up, and its author was edified. Today, sad to say, when a preacher stands on this book and reveals its whole counsel the way God intended, he becomes about the most unloving, unpopular person in the whole God chain of life. Oh, this unloving spirit didn't just spring up overnight. The Bible's filled with unloved preachers or unloving preachers. Remember Enoch? Genesis 5:24 says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, and God took him. Enoch preached the word of God. Enoch preached the second coming of Jesus Christ. He wasn't loved. That's why he walked alone. But his testimony was that he pleased God. And God translated him. Wow! Took him home. Why? Because Enoch spoke the truth. Why was Enoch so unpopular? Turn to Jude 14 and 15. Jude 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Enoch walked in truth. Enoch preached the truth. Enoch was not loved. Enoch came across as an unloving spirit. The people weren't happy to hear they were sinners on their way to an eternal hell. And neither are people happy today to be told that if they don't repent, they shall likewise perish. It's the truth. Not just the lost souls who may enter into your church, but those professing salvation. I've heard it over and over and over again, even from close family members. Who wants to go to church and hear the pastor tell us we're going to hell? Duh. Didn't Jesus preach the same thing? You know why the saved don't like to hear about hell when they go to church anymore? Not that they're going there because of their backslidden condition, for their destiny is sealed if they're truly saved. They know they're running with the world, and if Jesus returned today, they'd be too ashamed to face him. It's time to clean up your life, folks. Jesus could be here any day. And if you're not sure you're saved, well, chances are you're not. and you will go to hell. Something else you may hear from an unloving pastor: there's too many people out there who have heard the gospel, know all about salvation, know that hell is real, and if they don't get saved, that's where they're going. Yet they refuse to take that vital step, thinking that if there is a rapture and they see people being missing, then they will come to Christ and get saved. Too late, too late, too late. You have tempted God. You have committed a great sin by not allowing the Holy Spirit to do His timely work in you. You have crossed the line of no return. You are going to hell. How's that for being loving? Have you not heard of the great delusion? No, I guess not. If you're not saved, you haven't heard of it. It's in the Scriptures. God will send a great delusion upon the world. You know, that means you believe a lie. Those who have rejected Jesus Christ this side of the tribulation, this side of the rapture, when the rapture comes, your heart will be hardened, you'll believe a lie, and you'll go along with the Antichrist and be forever lost. Now, understandably, there'll be those who may not have heard of Jesus, our Savior. There'll be those who did not reject Him, but just did not accept Him. Will they be saved during the tribulation? Yes. If they come to Christ, they will be saved. If they refuse the mark of the beast, 666, they can be saved. But they risk great, great turmoil, great punishment. In fact, they will become martyrs, for many will lose their head. Now, there's a pleasant thought. Many will lose their head. So, if you haven't heard of the great delusion, look it up in your Bible. God will send this delusion upon the world, in that those who have rejected His Son will believe a lie. Yes, there will be many, many souls saved during the tribulation period. But these are those who have not heard or rejected Christ. Don't try it. Not receiving Christ and rejecting Christ are not the same. Did you hear that? Not receiving Christ and rejecting Christ are not necessarily the same. In Noah's time, the people rejected Christ. In the days of Pharaoh, Pharaoh rejected Christ. His heart was hardened then. For this reason, God sent to His disciples, or said to His disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. If they heard it and rejected it, their hearts could become hardened. A hardened heart is set in all its ways. And if it's not loosed when the rapture happens, it cannot be retrieved. Why? Because the restraining power of the Holy Spirit, which convicts us, is taken out and replaced by a great delusion sent by God that will cause them to believe a lie. The Scriptures are not clear on what that delusion will be, so I will not speculate at this time. Now, I truly believe that only those who enter the tribulation and have either not received the gospel, or have heard and not rejected, or hardened their hearts against the gospel, will have a further opportunity to be saved. But like I said, at great cost. Also, they must not receive the mark of the beast. but they probably will, because they believe a lie. Those who have believed the lie will also believe in the Antichrist and perish in the end, joining their father, the devil, in an eternal hell. Some parents today, concerned about the salvation of their children, prefer to believe they will get saved during the tribulation, even if they have rejected Christ totally before the rapture of the church. You see, if you reject Christ, I got to emphasize this, folks, if you reject him and the rapture occurs, the Holy Spirit is taken out, your heart will be hardened. You will believe a lie. The great delusion will come upon you. Some parents, like I said, are concerned. Well, they should be. The bottom line, I believe, centers on whether or not your denial of Christ touches on blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. My friends, it's becoming increasingly hard to find a church that preaches the whole counsel of God. I got saved in a small Baptist church. I taught in a Christian school in the church basement. I learned all about my Savior. He taught me about heaven and hell. Most of all, he taught me about truth, his truth. Then one day I moved to another part of the country where I began attending a large Baptist church. The preacher there taught that most any Bible was good enough to satisfy God. Why quibble over Bibles? It was a place of great confusion, which God is not the author of. They promoted contemporary Christian rock music and praised each other more than God. Their pastor, needless to say, was well loved. And what about Noah? Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the Bible says. When we think of Noah, we think of the picture books that children read. Noah comes across as a happy hammer kind of guy who loved to build an ark and preach the word of God. Noah wasn't loved very much. Did you know that? Why not? Because he was different. And when God told him to build an ark out in the desert, many thought he was insane. Obviously, he took a lot of ribbon. However, he found grace in the eyes of God. If Noah was preaching in our day, people would call him a fanatic, a looney tune at best. Noah preached against the morality of his day. And just like today, people didn't like to be told what they could and could not do. Nobody likes to be called a sinner, Bible or no Bible. They were no different than folks today. As long as you believe in God, then get on with your life. Well, just about everybody believes in God. Getting on with your life, huh? Next, we have a young lad by the name of Joseph. Was anyone hated more by their own family than Joseph? I mean, kids having their differences, fighting and arguing in the home, is even typical today. But hating your brother so much you wanted to kill him? Young Joseph had the habit of running to his father and telling on his brothers when they did something wrong. Yeah, whatever that may be, shaving a sheep with broken glass, throwing goat dung into the well, I don't know. In Genesis 37:2, it says, the word of God, rather, says, "And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14-17. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Joseph stood against the evils of his brethren. They just didn't want that little rat Fink around anymore. So they plotted to get rid of him. To his brothers, Joseph was today's Goody Two-Shoes. I mean, it was a bit harsh, tying him up and throwing him into a pit and all. But then they decided they'd sell him. They sold him into slavery because he wouldn't follow their evil ways. Today, Joseph would have preached 2 Timothy 4, 1-4. 2 Timothy 4, 1-4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. He wouldn't have united with the modernists. He would choose a fellowship with God than to hang out with the liberals. Joseph was a man of righteousness who held to the truth of God. Is there a Joseph in your family? Moses. Oh, Moses. Everybody knows the story of Moses. How many wanted Moses did? Moses was a man of great integrity who chose to live in poverty with his own than to share the throne of Pharaoh. Moses stood for truth. Let my people go, he told Pharaoh. Exodus 5, verse 1. And afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. John 8:36. If the Son, S-O-N, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I pray you understand that. When you come to Jesus, when you believe in Him, give your life over to Him, receive Him as your Savior, He sets you free from all your sins, from all your past, from all your wicked ways. He sets you free because His blood has the cleansing power. All you have to do is accept it. The people Moses led out of captivity were happy if things were going their way, if what they heard tickled their ears. But when Moses came down hard on them with the righteousness of God, they hated Moses and eventually would complain themselves out of the greatest blessing of their lives, crossing over into the promised land. Wow. I believe in freedom from denominational rule. A Baptist independent fundamentalist church does not answer to a board of committee members. Neither do we answer to a pope, nor do we answer to the protocol of some egotistical panel of theologian do-gooders. Nor do we display or read flyers, pamphlets, prompts, letters, or other dictation from some head office hundreds of miles away. We are independent, not because we place ourselves upon any pedestal, not because we don't love our brethren. No! We are independent for our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are independently trusting fully in the Word for our source, inspiration, and direction. We hold vehemently to the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of Almighty God as preserved and given to us in the authorized King James Bible. And yes, we carry the same unloving ways as did Enoch, Noah, Moses, and Joseph. And we hate too. We hate sin. We hate a proud look. We hate unrighteousness. We hate seeing God's word being perverted. And the greatest hate of all, we hate the devil. But we love. We love our enemies. Hate their sin, but love them. When you enter the doors of this sanctuary, you must do so at your own risk. For it is within these hallowed walls that you will be called a sinner. You will also be called a liar. The scripture says, let God be true and every man a liar. You will be called a sinner, for the word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From this altar of God, you will be fully challenged through God's word. You will be lifted up but never exalted. You will be loved but never pampered. You will suffer humility but never feel proud. For God hates a proud look. You will feel the flaming tentacles of hell reaching out to encompass you as you raise your voice in song. You will don the full armor of God. You will feel at times that God has given you too much to handle. But joy cometh in the morning, and you will grow virtually overnight in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And always remember, once you set yourself down at the feet of Jesus the Christ, nothing will be impossible. All things will pass away. All things will become new. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. God loves you, and so do we. And that's a truth everybody loves to hear. Everybody must hear. I should be remiss unless I mentioned Nathan. In 2 Samuel 12, 7 to 14, it says, thou art the man. He said to David this, thou art the man. He wasn't talking about how great David was. He was rebuking him for what he was, what he did. Thou art the man who committed the adultery, the murder of Uriah. You did it! Nathan called him out. Nathan was no coward. He called it like it was. If Nathan were around today, he surely would have made his voice heard by presidents and other political figures. Some would say that Nathan was unloving. He preached judgment. Elijah preached judgment too, when the people turned away from God. Poor Elijah. Come a time when he felt so alone, he just wanted to die. He wasn't loved by the world, but he did preach the truth. Look at North America today, turning their backs on God constantly. How can they? How can we expect God to bless us when our governments consent to abortion and homosexuality, to name a couple? Truly, we are living in the end times. For the Word of God says things will wax worse and worse. Yes, truly we are living in the end times. And the truth, whether you like it or not, must be preached at all costs. If not, get out of the pulpit, run out the door, go out in the wilderness somewhere and get yourself right with God. But don't stand there at the pulpit and tell everybody God loves you and leave it there with a big period. His love is, yes, it's real. He loves us sinners. No matter what we've done, He loves us. But He hates our sin. And God made hell. Like He made heaven, He made hell. But He didn't make it for us sinners. He made it for the devil and his angels. But that's where we're going if we don't believe in His Son. That's where you're going. The truth must be preached at all costs. Listen up, folks. Listen up. Everyone out there who calls himself a preacher and claims to have God's anointing are not all called of God. The truth will set you free. Unloved? Are you unloved? Do you work all day and then go home to a house without love? Talk to Jesus. Tell Him all about your troubles. Ask Him to come into your life and be your friend, your Savior. He's waiting to hear from you. There's no excuse for loneliness when you have Christ. You know, I go out for a walk. Every chance I get, I go out for a walk, walk way around the block. And there's this hill I come to. I call it a mountain, because to me it looked like a mountain. And when I reach to the base of the hill, I open my hand, and I'm already in conversation with God at this point, and I say, God, take my hand and sweep me to the summit. Now, I'm not asking that I start flying like an angel up to the top of the hill, but I'm asking Him to help me because I need His help. I need His help every day. I want Him to know I love Him and I need Him constantly through everything. And He carries me up the hill. I don't mean literally, but I must define this for you who would criticize my terminology. But He does. He sweeps me up to the summit. And when I get to the top of that mountain, I say, thank you, Lord. But I do not open my hand and let His hand release itself from me. I hold on to His hand until I reach my front door. And then I say, thank you, God. Thank you for taking me on this trip. Thank you for allowing me to have this informal chat with you. You know, God's not a stuffed shirt where you have to go to Him and use the formalities all the time and this and thou. And when you're saved, He's your Heavenly Father. And you can go to Him anyway. Go to Him and say, God, can we have a talk? First of all, tell him how great he is. This is our mandate, to praise and glorify his name. Lift him up. Show him we love him. Acknowledge his great power and love for us. And then state your petitions. Tell him, although he knows before you even speak, tell him your needs, even your wants, your desires. God knows all about us. He knows all about our troubles. Talk to him as you would your father, with great respect, but also with great awe. I love my God. I love him. And he's waiting now. He's waiting now to hear from you. Friends, there's no excuse for loneliness. He's waiting. Never be lonely again, because he'll always be there for you. Waiting to talk to you and to give you direction. Believe on him. Believe on him. He died for you, and now he lives for you. All you have to do is believe. Believe. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this message you have allowed me to submit, Lord, to the ears that would hear it. I pray, Lord, that those who have heard it and those who will hear it, Lord, that they would be moved by it. But I pray, Lord, most of all, that though the ears of the unsaved would hear it and would listen attentively, Lord, and that they would make a decision for Jesus Christ, even this day. For tomorrow is promised to no one. O God, merciful, loving God, how great thou art. How wonderful are thy precepts. I love thee, Lord, for I know thou first lovest me. And this love is shown in the precious sacrifice of your Son, my blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen.